Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joel Smith. I'm one of the deacons here at Village, and it's my pleasure to welcome you all to the first Sunday in Advent here at Village. Welcome to everyone who's present here in the building and to all of those worshiping with us online. Before I get into the announcements, let's have a time of what we call passing the peace. And just, you can say hello to your neighbor, give them a hug, a handshake, walk around and say hi to somebody, but we have a very short window to do that, so please be quick. Announcement list is getting shorter, but there's still a lot going on in the month of December. For those of you who may not have seen it before, you see the angel tree out in the foyer. Fortunately and thankfully to all the villagers, all of the angels have been taken. And the gifts are due back by next Sunday. And the Missions Commission has requested that if you can, try to give the gifts directly to one of the members of the Missions Commission. If not, I think you can put them in the parlor, is that correct? Again, gifts are due back by next Sunday, and then there'll be a distribution along with another church. The Bowie Pantry is in need of donations. Donations were due today, and I noticed that in the coat closet there are a lot of things in there, and that's awesome. Just remember that you can bring donations to the church at any time, as long as it's non-perishable items, and the Missions Commission delivers them regularly to the food bank. There is a special business meeting today after this service, 12 o'clock. This should be a very short business meeting. The only thing on the agenda, as far as I know, is approving the budget for the next year. So hopefully you'll be able to attend that. The Outreach Commission is meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. on Zoom. And just a reminder, the church's new Instagram handle is @VillageBaptistOfBowie. And so if you have an Instagram account, please connect. Are there any other announcements? We'll keep an eye out for that. Any other announcements? All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Sing, O come, Emmanuel.
From far and wide, we come together on a journey toward the manger.
With hope in our hearts, we wait expectantly for our world to change.
As we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope, we remember to keep God's light shining brightly for all to see.
This candle reminds us that God's hope and light bring change to our world.
Good morning. Welcome to Village Baptist Church on this first Sunday in Advent. This is a time we devote to the sharing of blessings and concerns and prayer, and everyone here is invited to share. For the sake of privacy, we will be muting the sound of those who are viewing this on Zoom. When the prayer begins, all will be brought back in. So, church, what is on your hearts today? Holy God, in this season of waiting and anticipation, we lift to you all of these prayer concerns, these people that we have been naming here this morning, and ask in your mercy that you would hear our prayers. To those who are sick and facing surgery or recovering from surgery, Lord, give the gift of healing and wholeness. For those who are mourning, who face the holidays with mixed emotions, give them the gift of a greater and deeper awareness of your presence, as well as with the loved ones they miss so much. To those who are lonely or sorrowing or anxious, give the gift of your peace, that peace that passes special understanding. To those who are out of work, to those who have no home to call their own, to all who struggle with the daily reality of living day to day and making ends meet, Lord, give the gift of hope that doors will be opened and needs will be met. Lord, we pray for an end once again to the violence in the Middle East. We pray for the release of those held captive, and we pray that all wars will cease. Pray that the hungry will be fed, that refugees will find places of safety and peace. In this Advent season, may each of us and all of us welcome the coming of your Son with open hearts and receptive spirits. Fill us with love and peace, joy and hope, even as we give thanks for all your gifts of life. We do so in the name of the one who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Oh. for Children's Story. How are y'all doing? Good. Hey, you got some elf ears. Are those your real ears? No, those are not your real ears. You're gonna visit Santa. Well, that's fun. Are you looking forward to Christmas? Okay, that's all right. Are you looking forward to Christmas, Ruby? Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're all here today. It's a little bit rainy today, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do here. So, do you know what today is? Do you remember at the beginning of the service, or near the beginning of the service, we had someone light a candle? So that means there's one candle. That means we're on the first Sunday of Advent. We're just starting Advent, and we'll talk about that in a second. But can you think of different ways we can keep track of time? Yes. Eat chocolate. I guess, do you eat like one per day? One per day. Okay, got it. Is that in an Advent calendar? Yeah, in an Advent calendar. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, I guess, would it be as much fun if in each Advent calendar there was a little bit of broccoli? Would you like that?
I'll probably eat it only if it has butter.
If it has butter. Okay. Well, there you go. Honesty. What about this on my wrist? What's that? A watch? You can keep track of time that way. What about there's a clock on the back there? Can you keep time with that? Well, yeah. You don't get that to you, but yeah. When you're not a You get those when you get your parent, but or teacher. What about some other ways we can keep track of time?
I know.
Yeah.
Have a teacher bring me a watch, and then the other day before Christmas, he just eats it.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot of food time, keeping track of time with food. You could probably do that when you're young, but yeah, Ruby. What? A phone. Yeah. Is it? Oh, yeah, my alarm went off. I didn't notice that. Yeah, my alarm went off on my phone. I'll have to remember what that's for after the children's story. But what about, have you seen an hourglass?
No, I don't even know what that means.
Well, so we didn't always have watches and clocks. And one of the ways people would keep track of time a long time ago is they would put an hourglass. It looks like it has a sort of a little shape. It's like wide at the top, and it gets thinner and then wider. And then the sand, you'd put it in the top, and when you put it up there, the sand would fall through, but only a little bit at a time. And so what would happen is you'd know how long time was. We used to use that to keep track of how long to boil our eggs, believe it or not. But yes?
It's a sand timer.
A sand timer, exactly. What about the moon? If you look up at the moon, does it tell you, like, can you see, if you keep looking at the moon every night, does it look a little bit different each night?
Yeah, like some it's like a quarter moon, half moon.
That's right. And what about the sun? When you see the sun coming up, going up over the horizon, what time is it?
I can't really.
Roughly. Morning. It's sunrise, morning. What about when the sun is going down?
It's midnight.
Sunset. Right.
When we went to the beach,
so what about, have you noticed that when it gets towards winter, it gets darker earlier and it stays dark later? Longer in the day? So the day gets short. We call it, so the day gets shorter because it seems like it's shorter because the time of the day is shorter. What about the leaves? So if you look at the, if I'm looking there and I see there's no leaves on the tree.
It's winter.
Winter. And what if there's little, if there's like new leaves that are growing on the tree? Spring. And what about if there's nice big green leaves? And what about when they're red and purple and yellow? Fall. Right. So we can keep track of, there's all sorts of ways of keeping track of time. So why is that important? Well, in one of the readings, one of the possible readings for today is in the Gospels, and it's in the Gospel of Mark, and he's talking about keeping a lookout for Jesus, and it ends by saying, be awake. So you need to keep track of things, because we know that this is the time of year when we start thinking about Jesus coming. So we need to be awake. We need to keep looking for him. Rudy, could you hear me my... So I brought some binoculars today. What? These are binoculars. So, so I can look at through these, and I can see things that are a long way away. Let's see what I can see here. Ooh, I can see my name. It's very big back there. And let's see what else I can see. Oh, I can see there's a bug crawling on your back. I can see. Not really. How else do you think keep a lookout for things? What other ways can we do that? What if you want to look at something that's a long way away? You could use binoculars. What else can you use?
Or a camera.
A camera, yeah. Yes. A drone, yes. What about things that are a long, long, long way away in space? Do you know we have...
Space camera.
A space camera, and we call that the James Webb Space Telescope, the JWST. And it can see a very long, long way away, much further than your aunt's house or your grandmother's house or those other things. It can see back a long, long way. And because the universe is changing, it takes time for the light to get here. And so we can actually see further back in time. So these are good ways of looking out, but they're not going to really help us to find Jesus, are they? But where do you think we could find Jesus? Yeah. Heaven. Okay, that's good. What if we're in a hurry and we want to see him sooner?
Oh, go in a race to go see the God.
Okay. Oops. Don't tell anybody. I don't want them to hear, but where are we right now?
Right.
Where are we right now? Yes, Ruby. Yeah, okay. So, look, she got it right, all on her own. Great. So, yeah, we're here in church, and can you think of some places that we might find Jesus in the church?
Oh, no.
Yes.
In the Bible.
In the Bible, yes. Yes, Ruby? In the church. But what about, like, when the piano is playing? Do you hear the music? We can think about Jesus there, right? What about the organ? Yeah, you can hear it in the music there. What about this? This is called the altar, and we're going to have communion a little bit later. That's a time that we remember Jesus. What about your Sunday school classes or your children's church? Do you see Jesus there? Can you learn about Jesus there?
Yeah.
What about in the congregation here? Do you see Jesus among the people here?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one other place that I can think of that you can find Jesus. Where is that? Heaven? Okay, we got heaven covered. He's there, but he comes back down here. He sneaks. He's like incognito. Yes, Ruby? At Christmas. And there's one other special place that you can find Jesus.
Oh.
What about in you? In you and you. Jesus is in each of you. Do you enjoy eating ice cream? Yes, Jesus is in the ice cream. So, anyways, I don't want to go on for too long because the adults get impatient. They know that this is our time, but they need their time too. They get impatient. So, my point just is that we're keeping track of the time right now, but we need to be awake. And we don't have to be awake just this Sunday or the next Sunday or at Christmas. We can be awake for Jesus everywhere because he's everywhere. In little ways, he's there. And even when you stop and you think about it, some of Jesus is in you, and you'll still have that little voice of Jesus inside you saying something like, oh, why don't you hug that person, or why don't you help someone pick up a mess, or why don't you listen to your Sunday school teacher, or why don't you eat ice cream? Okay? So I'm going to wrap up now because we've... So let's just say a quick prayer, guys and gal. God, thank you for bringing us here today. And thank you for reminding us that even as we wait for Jesus in our Advent calendar, our Advent season, and at Christmas, that we are in fact waiting for... We are remembering that every day we can be awake and look for Jesus in our lives and in ourselves. Amen. All right, guys. That's it. Children's Church. Oh, no, special music first, guys.
Am I on? Hope. So this is the first Sunday in Advent, and this song celebrates birth, and birth is probably one of the greatest symbols of hope. So...
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing in the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above those trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I sing. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I sing. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Amen.
Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles driftwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like that, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us unto the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord. Do not be exceedingly angry, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Let us pray. O God, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. Well, today I begin a brief series of messages entitled When Heaven and Earth Meet. Today is also the first Sunday of Advent, Sunday of Hope. We lit the first candle on our wreath. It was purple, the color of penitence. Today is about hope. We live with the hope that what God has done once, that is, come down, that God will one day do again. 4 months ago, give or take, Bob Barker died. He was a beloved host, I guess you could say, of the game show The Price is Right. He became a household name, and he earned 19 Daytime Emmy Awards, including one for Lifetime Achievement. I have no idea why. But when contestants were chosen to play the game of guessing how much a particular item cost, Barker will always be remembered for those immortal lines, "Come on down." Well, the prophet Isaiah says something similar in the lesson today. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. What those words really represent are the anguished outburst of a prophet who looks at the world all around him and he wants God to come down and fix it. He sounds to me like he's mad as you know what, and he doesn't want to take it anymore. Now, most scholars agree that there are three very distinct parts of this book of Isaiah. The first part was written before the great exile into Babylon. People were carted off into exile. The second component was written from the vantage point of people living in exile. And the third part was composed from the perspective of people returning to the holy city, Jerusalem, returning to the promise of a new life and a new start. So today's reading is actually from this third part of Isaiah, and you would think, wouldn't you, that after so many years in exile, the people would be overjoyed to be returned to their homeland and pick up as life their life again, but there were a lot of reasons they couldn't. They say you can't go home again, and in this case, it was difficult. Klaus Westerman, a famed Bible scholar, calls Isaiah 64 the most powerful psalm of communal lament in the Bible. The people had much to lament over. When they returned to Jerusalem, the temple was in ruins. The city was little more than rubble. All the secure centers of meaning for the people had been destroyed. And they discovered upon their return that there was not enough resources available to rebuild their crumpled and crumbling nation and temple. You can imagine the mood was one of anxiety, fear, uncertainty. Imagine, I don't think you can imagine it, but try to imagine that an invading army came into Bowie, carted you all off into exile, and when you came back, Bowie was rubble. This church was gone. That would be pretty upsetting, wouldn't it? And that's the way it was for them. And they longed for God, but they didn't know where God was. They had been in exile. They had been separated from God. For them, God seemed absent. Do you know how that feels? I think we all do. Have you ever prayed and you felt like you were only talking to yourself? Have you ever sat beside the bedside of someone you love who's in pain and prayed for God's help, but it seems like God was nowhere to be found? These are difficult days for churches. Interest and involvement are down nationally in churches. We can get discouraged. And we can wonder when God is going to act on our behalf. This is the kind of situation where the people asked, you know, how long, Lord? How long? How long? We ask that too. How long, Lord, do there have to be hungry people? How long, Lord, do there have to be mass shootings? How long does there have to be financial debt? How long until our elected leaders get along? Work together. How long before young girls are not carted off into sexual trafficking? How long? The great preacher Fred Craddock, who spoke in a powerful way for God for so long, was once heard to confess, "My problem with God has been God's timidity, God's quietness." Is that your experience? Oh, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, when you did awesome things that we did not look for, that we did not expect, you came down. It's a prayer for God to come and deliver his people. And I don't know what Isaiah is thinking of. Maybe he's thinking of the Exodus from Egypt. Maybe he's thinking of the awesome presence of God at Mount Sinai. But he's remembering the mighty acts of God in the past. And I think it would do us well to remember them as well. Of course, that's what gathering around the table is all about this morning. Remembering the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and how God acted to deliver us. It's easier to wait for God's coming again, I think, when we can rehearse God's great deeds in the past. Now, I don't think you'll disagree with this. Our world is a bit of a mess. Nations continue to do battle with nations. We treat the planet as if it were our own personal ATM. There is greed and avarice and corruption at every level, it seems. Our culture is gutted with violence and death. You know the litany as well as I do. Human beings, to me, just have an amazing capacity to make bigger messes than we can clean up. But we can live with hope and wait expectantly for Christ's second advent, if we can recall those times in the past when God has acted. Wait, the scripture says, for God will do awesome deeds that we did not expect when God comes down. When's that going to be? I don't know. Jesus said no one's going to know the time. So now we just wait. Just like the people of Judah had to wait for deliverance from exile, and deliverance did come, in like manner we wait for our deliverance when Christ comes again. He's the potter. We're the clay. We turn the timing over to God. And until then, we wait and we trust. But it has to be a productive and busy kind of waiting. We use this time in between Advents to repent. We use it to work, to carry out and carry on the work of Christ's ministry. There's a wonderful verse here in verse 4. It says, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, hear this, for who works for those who wait for him. Now you put that another way, God works for those who wait for them, and the way we wait for God is to work for the things that God is working for. I haven't finalized a date yet, but I have invited my dear friend Willie King to come and speak to us sometime soon, because she has an amazing story to tell. Decades ago, she was in on history in the making. She was a young woman serving in Birmingham as a secretary to Wyatt T. Walker of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Martin Luther King had just been arrested there and jailed for violating a court order to stop demonstrating against segregation. Dr. King tried to garner the support of religious leaders, whose wise counsel, of course, was wait. That's clergy for you. Wait for a better time. Wait for attitudes to change. You know, wait until the Iceman cometh, but wait. Well, Willie King, Willie Mackey at the time, was asked to transcribe Dr. King's response from prison. And Dr. King wrote his letter from the Birmingham jail on bits and scraps of paper, on the margins of newspapers, even on toilet tissue, all of which were smuggled out to Willie to process and type. And Willie will give witness that as she deciphered Dr. King's words, she learned that God, in fact, will move to work with those who align themselves with God's purposes, that God will reward years of waiting if we walk and if we work alongside God. There's lots of things we can do between Advents. Who or what does your heart burst for? I'll give you one concrete example from another church, from Dr. Willimon's book. During a Bible study session in his church, one of the members of the group said something to the effect, "It's so sad that we live in a time when so many young parents are having babies, starting families, and they live in these big apartment complexes, and there's nobody to help them. No adoring grandparents around." So they initiated what they called the Northside Baby Welcome. They got the names of new babies born in the area. They had baby visitors who just showed up on the doorstep of those who had had a child with a Bible storybook and a pamphlet on baby care and some diapers. And they told them of the church's morning out parent program. And they said in their words and their deeds, "We just want you to know that you don't have to be parents alone. We're here to help." And that church grew, don't you know? And somebody said, it seemed like all of a sudden they had a purpose and a mission. For 30 years, they hadn't had that sense of purpose and mission, but now they did. So what do we do, church, between Advents? We live as if God were going to show up among us right now, anytime, day or night, any place, here or there. We stay alert. We stay awake, we pay attention, we wait, and we work, and we pray. we let our light shine. And in so doing, we align ourselves with God's purposes and live as signs and signals of the great good work Christ promises to do one day soon. Oh, that you would tear down the heavens and come down. Did you ever notice that much of the apocalyptic literature in the Bible seems very violent? It seems like it's always talking about skies darkening and stars falling and heavens shaking. But I think those words are actually words of promise, just to let us know that God in Christ will return. Now, some people actually hope and pray for that kind of end. But I have a growing discomfort with the idea of Jesus coming to, you know, kick butt, knock heads together. Because I remember the first Advent, how silently the wondrous gift was given. As God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. And whatever the future brings, when heaven and earth meet again, I rather suspect that any ripping open of the heavens will lead to creation's blessing and healing as Christ comes down with love and compassion for all. So may it be. Amen. Will you bow with me in prayer? Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come and heal us with your presence. Come and unite us with your love. And come as we gather now around your table. We give thanks today for your Son, our Lord, and for this table's reminder that he gave his life for us and that he walks with us today. By your Spirit's grace, help us feel your presence, Emmanuel, to realize that we are never, ever alone. May we always walk in the light of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And as Jesus shared the bread with his disciples, so we share it now with one another. Take and eat. And in like manner, our Lord took the cup. After giving thanks, he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As Jesus shared the cup with his disciples, so now we share with one another. Drink this, all of you. We're going to sing an Advent hymn as we close. number 83 in your hymn books. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's a hymn of deliverance. So very, very appropriate for this day. Let's stand and sing. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storm. And one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.